So right there, what a basketball team that would have been. And are not his sisters, the cheerleaders, are here with us. And that was the family of Mary and Joseph. And they were offended at him, it says. See, there's where we're starting to see the humanity in this story. Mary and his brothers and sisters were offended at Jesus. It was probably jealousy and just a lot of misunderstanding. A lot of, how do you explain this? You know? And our main text where we're at in Luke 8 refutes the Marian cult as well. Again, verse 20. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. Now listen, any honest reader can see there that Jesus had brothers. And you know what they say? Well, we call each other brothers and sisters in the church. And so, and that they try to act like that's it, no honest person reads this and sees that. There's an agenda. They want to deify Mary. They want to make Mary. We have we did a study on Mary in our first few weeks of Luke. And we tell you, Mary is blessed among women. But she's still a woman. She's not the God woman like Jesus was the God man. Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. That's the mystery of the incarnation. Mary was 100% woman. And she was a sinner. But she was a wonderful woman of God, a wonderful mother, but still a human being. And so keep that in mind, and keep in mind what we are told happened right after Jesus chose the 12, if you go over to Mark chapter 3, in order to understand what Jesus is about to say. His mom and his brethren have shown up, but just a short time before this, he had chosen the 12. And we're told in Mark chapter 3, something that your relatives say about you if you're living for the Lord. Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. This is what Mary and his brothers and sisters thought about Jesus right after he chose his 12. Beginning of verse 13, and we'll read through verse 15. If you're there, read it with me. And he goeth into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Then the next four verses, he names those 12. And then after choosing the 12, look what it says there in verse 21. Read that. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. That this would include his family and his friends. They were thinking he was crazy. How many of you know people who think that about you? They think you're crazy. I mean, from the start, the moment you say, I've been saved, my sins are forgiven, you can be saved too. And you share the gospel with him. Oh, you know, yeah, I don't want that religion. You know, yeah, that. And from that point on, they think you're crazy. Well, the fact is, it's normal. It's normal for the lost and backslidden family in your life to think that real Christians are crazy. So some of you may think, you know, because this is what happens to people. They start to think, well, maybe there is something wrong with me. One of the first things that happened to me when I got saved, I was going around town, everybody was got saved. I tried to get them one-on-one, say, listen, I just want to tell you something. I got saved. My sins are forgiven. And Jesus died on the cross to pay for the sins of the whole world. And if you will repent toward him and believe this gospel, that he shed his blood and died and paid for your sins. He was buried, but he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He conquered sin and death. He's won the victory. And all you have to do is repent and turn to him and believe that gospel and you'll be saved. And then other Christians would come along. And they weren't doing that.
Right.
And they'd say, well, I'm not kidding you. This is, I'm paraphrasing, but it's exactly what was said to me. Within a 2 or 3 weeks of me being saved, a older elder Christian came to me and said, well, in a few months you'll settle down.
They said.
Yeah. I thought, why do I need to settle down?
Right.
So I asked him, I said, well, why do I need to settle down? He said, well, you know, you're real zealous right now to preach the gospel and all that, and that's good. That's fine. That happens to all of us. Yeah, for real. Now, if people think you're crazy and it's about preaching the gospel and living for the Lord, that's good. But just be sure it's because of your love for Jesus, not a legit claim about you. Yeah. Once in a while I run across a Christian, people think he's crazy, and I do too. Because he is. And there are people right now all over the world destroying their witness by assuming and adopting these crazy YouTube theories, for example, the reptilians. And they say that all of our leaders are reptiles. That refutes the Bible. The Bible does not teach that there is a reptilian race on earth. That actually comes from paganism, and it's a pagan idea, and it's New Age. And yet there are, we've had people come to this church, and that's why they came. They didn't come because they wanted to sit under Bible teaching and fellowship with Christians. They wanted to convert us all over to their idea of the reptilians. And they have videos, and there's a glitch on the video that makes the eyes look weird, and then sometimes they've been photoshopped, or whatever the case may be. And they'll say, see? And I said, that didn't happen. No one who was there in person saw that. That was a video thing. As one where the thing glitched. Well, it wasn't just the eyes, it was everything on that line of the video. And I was like, can't you see though, even the background glitches like that? Well, that was because of the magnetic blah, blah, you know, it's like there's reasons why everything, just, you know, I'm sorry, you're crazy. And I've gotten in trouble, we've lost a couple of people here with it, because of the idea of the flat earth. And a lot of, some people who aren't on the internet especially think that's incredible, but I'm here to tell you there are people who believe now in the flat earth. If it wasn't for the internet, they wouldn't. But they spend their time watching these flat earth videos, and if that's the world you live in, you can be convinced. And, you know, and I told the folks who left, you can believe that if you want. I'm not telling you what you can or can't believe about the earth being a globe or flat or whatever. I'm just not going to allow you going around trying to convert everybody. I mean, that's just going to be division, and most people are just going to think you're crazy, and there's going to be division because they're not going to be near you. They're going to be afraid you're going to start vomiting pea soup and head spinning or whatever, because that scares people when they hear that kind of stuff. That stuff, and there's other things, but the reptilian thing, the flat earth thing, is more important than Jesus Christ to those people. Yeah. That's just the truth. And they are more committed and will divide with brothers and sisters in Christ over those things. Because they're more committed to that than they are the gospel. So if that's what people think you're crazy, you are crazy. That's just the way it is. I mean, we've had debates on whether or not we landed on the moon. We've had debates on, you know, the JFK assassination, conspiracy theories related to that. I am convinced that things like Pearl Harbor was staged. I mean, it was all set up. I believe that we got into the Vietnam War with the World War I was a Lusitania. That was a setup. The government set it up to happen. Pearl Harbor got us in World War II. What? Gulf of Tonkin got us into Vietnam. It's documented now. It's fact that it was made up. Just total made up to get us into war. Yeah, false flags. In 9/11, it was an inside job. I believe that. I don't believe it was just the deep state. They set it up, just like Pearl Harbor, and the Islamists did what they did, but it was all allowed to happen. There's a reason why the ATF and others were called ahead of time and told not to be in the building that day. They blame the Jews for that because Israeli intelligence from the Mossad picked it up and told their people not to go in that day. Yeah. It's not that they were orchestrated, but they knew it was going to happen, so they protected their people. That's based on fact. But, you know, if you don't agree with me on that, I don't care. Yeah, I mean, I don't care. What is important for us as a body is that we believe this book is divinely inspired scripture. and that we submit ourselves to that. If I read in there something about 9/11, then we should submit to that, but right now we don't. What I do read is that the whole world lieth in wickedness, so that's kind of on my side, amen? But yeah, Johnny, you want to say something?
Hearing a recording where somebody was talking to somebody, and they said that a plane hit the building or a bomb went off. I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's recordings where the people are saying it. There's multiple explosions. Then you can watch the video where it pop 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 pop, just like a designed demolition. Building 7 wasn't touched, and it came down perfectly. I mean, they pulled it, as the guy said. On and on it goes. But what I'm saying is that's all based on real demonstrable fact. And if you hold an opinion about the moon landing, I think we were there. If you don't think we landed on the moon, no problem. I don't have a problem with that. But if you run around making that the issue instead of the gospel, people are going to think you're crazy. You believe in a flat earth? Fine. But don't make that your gospel. You believe in reptilians? Fine. But don't make that your gospel. The gospel is the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
So back to our text. Verse 20 again, and it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And we might expect a different response than what we're about to see. I mean, Jesus is always sweet and nice to everybody, amen?
Yes.
Right?
Not always.
Well, I mean, if you believe the TV Jesus, that's what you'd think. The fake Jesus of modern Christianity, he would have said,
yes, mommy.
That's your fake Jesus.
Yes, mommy.
He doesn't really exist. Don't get your Jesus from paintings. Don't get your Jesus from TV movies. Don't get your Jesus from anything but the King James Bible. If your Jesus is just from God's Word, you're not going to get the wrong one. But knowing that his family thought he was crazy, you may explain his response in verse 21. Read that again with me. And he answered and said, are you there? Luke 8, verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Now, you may think he said that and then said, but anyway, I'm going to go see mommy. There's no reference to him doing that. He was busy. He was doing God's work. His mother and his brethren had come to hear him, and he says, the only things recorded is he says, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. And there's nothing about him taking time to hang out with mom. Now, I'll tell you this, I just take it for granted. That's because mom and the brothers either A, knew better and knew there was a right time and a wrong time to approach Jesus, or B, or I should have said two, he knew. There was something wrong about that trip, that message they were bringing. There was something wrong about it. Maybe they were going to come and say, Jesus, everybody thinks you're crazy. Or, Jesus, you need to lighten up. Come home. I got some soup, cornbread. I think that's what it is. I think Jesus knew the message they came bearing, and he's like, my mother, my brethren, are those who hear the word of God and do it. And he just went on about his business. Now, I'm not Jesus, and I'm not comparing myself to that, but I want to tell you, if I answered the phone and answered text and answered email as they come in, that's all I would ever get done. So in this modern age, what some of us have to do, and I think all of us, all of you, should do this if you need to, turn it off.
Yeah.
Then you can pick it up later and check your messages. And don't get your feelings hurt when people don't answer their phone or whatever. Leave a message. That's another, some of you, I'm not going to name names, a couple of you just don't understand technology. You're supposed to leave a message. That's why we have voicemail, email, and text. Don't just say, hey. How many of you get those messages?
Yeah.
Hey. 4 hours later when I see it, I'm like, I hope he wasn't dying or something. And I've tried to explain to people who do that to me. I say, that's not how this is supposed to work. Send me a message. The message. Whatever your message is. If you just want to tell me you like apple pie, just send it. Don't say, hey. Hey. It doesn't make any sense. But why do I do that? It could be my mother. It could be my brother. It could be my friend. But if it's not an emergency and I'm about God's business or other responsibilities, don't be playing on your phone while you're supposed to be working. That makes you a thief.
Right.
You're supposed to be working as unto the Lord, and you should work for that dollar that you earned in that 15 minutes or whatever. Amen.
Amen.
So it sounds harsh, but it's true. That's how Jesus responded to his mother and his brethren when they showed up. Now, I want to say there's categories of relations. And that's another thing you better understand. There are categories of your relationships with people. How many of you have people you're related to by blood, or even if you're adopted, your family or whatever, and they're saved? You got people like that in your life? Those, if they are Bible believers, they're the best. I mean, that's where it's at. I love every one of you, but Jenny's the best.
And
then we come down. But you're all in that. You're all in my family. But those blood relatives, those family relatives that are saved, man, there's nothing better. But a close second, those of you who are not related to me by blood, but you're saved. And I'll say this in a second. I'll clarify something. You also have backslid relations. Those of you who are serving the Lord and are saved. Not my blood relatives, but you're serving the Lord's sake. You're better than backslid relations. And then there's unsaved relations. People you're related to that aren't saved. People you have to see on holidays. More and more as we go along, they are all falling into the libtard category. They want to fight every time that you come around. They want to argue about politics and things. And that's why so many families, I hardly know any family who still gets together the way they did in the 70s and 80s. Because when you show up, they want to fight. They're fierce. Like the last day says they will be. Fierce. And then the final is just unsaved, unrelated. That's it, of all the unsaved and backslidden and all that, that's the best because you don't have to see them on holidays. Unsaved, unrelated, what you do to them, you preach the gospel, pray for them, but you don't have to hang out with them at all.
Right.
It's Jessica.
That's why, because of that, he, unsaved.
Don't get all weepy on me now.
I'm sorry, but because of that,
she can't talk when she does that. Amen.
Thanksgiving.
Amen.
So I don't have to go to my brother's where they're homosexuals.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Now, most of the time, my mom and my grandmother is 95 years old and still uses the internet better than most people I know. They watch. And even if they're not watching, and my dad and my brother's saved, he's of a different persuasion. So we don't talk about certain doctrinal issues, but he believes the gospel, his family, his wife, my sister, and my brother-in-law. I've got some wonderful Christian relatives, and I'm not going to name them all, but there's not many more than that. And a lot of my relatives, I've witnessed to them. They don't want anything to do with the gospel, and they really don't want anything to do with me. I can tell by the way they act when I'm around, they don't really want me around. It's very awkward. How many of you go through that every holiday? You get around these family, they're blood relatives, some of them by marriage, and it's awkward.
It's like, oh, Greg's here. Don't bring up Jesus.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, Johnny.
I was just asking, what was the other reference on Jesus' family?
Okay, come to me afterwards. We'll look up the slide. Because I have to look through the slides. I don't know which one you're talking about. But I got to move. I want to move because of the time there. Now, few newly saved Christians are told that their relationship with Jesus will cost them close friends and relatives. Yeah. Everybody, because they mean well. They mean well. But they say, come to Jesus and everything's going to be happy, happy, happy all the time. It is a big old lie. And that's why I don't tell people that when I'm preaching the gospel to them. I just talk about what needs to be talked about. I don't give them false hope. And If I'm able to talk to him long enough, I let him know. I say, listen, now this isn't that Jesus is going to make you a millionaire. It doesn't mean you're going to win friends and influence people. It doesn't mean every day of your life's going to be happy, clappy, happy, clappy. It means you're going to be saved from the lake of fire. That's what it means. But the old gospel tunes will tell you this is a veil of tears we're living through. And you're going to be betrayed by blood relatives. You're going to be betrayed. Most of us have been betrayed by close friends like Judas betraying Jesus. And I'm not going to get personal with this, but I can tell you, I'm just telling you. First 5 or 6 years of my life, I was hoping it was over. It wasn't. And every time I'd go to a new church, have to move to a new town, make new friends, and within a matter of months or a couple of years, whink, 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 you know, right in the back. I mean, over and over and over. And I'm trying not to be too personal, but I have, and you know, some of them may say they didn't like something they saw out of me. Those of you know that I went through a divorce. And I stepped out of ministry for a while, and I was a mess for about a year. I mean, I'm just being human with you and telling you that. Back in the before I met this wonderful woman, God used her. I'm going to tell you, I was already ready for a relationship. She didn't, you know, she wouldn't have married me if I was a mess. But I thank the Lord for giving me someone like that. Not everybody gets that. I don't know why, but not everybody does. God will answer that when we get there. But true friends, when they see you down, that's not when they abandon you. Yeah. I was all alone for a good while. Now, again, my mom, my grandma, they know this. I love them, but, you know, I can't call mommy up all the time. And I lived a couple, 2 or 3 hours away, and there was, you know, just a phone call wasn't what I needed. And they couldn't be running up here all the time, although I'm going to tell you, they helped me out a lot, like family should. But those of you know, my 3 daughters have kicked me to the curb. And I didn't demand they do everything I say and believe everything I believe. I have some people say my standards are low. And yet, because I have those standards and won't just say, oh, okay, to the curb. God, when he gave me her, he gave me a couple of fellas. And then they got married to a couple of beautiful women, wonderful Christian women, having little babies. Amen. God will bring other things, other people, other situations, all that. And so I'm blessed. But I know what it's like to be betrayed. Yeah. Sometimes by your own blood. Yeah. But Jesus didn't do it to me. Jesus didn't do any of these things to me, and so I never, in my worst time, said, I hate you, I don't get it. And I've heard people doing that. The only thing I said was, Jesus, why don't you just kill him? And as soon as I say it, the Spirit says, shut up. But I'm just being honest with you. And other times, like, they look like, in the Psalms, it says this all the time, it looks like they're just happy in their sin. And then the Spirit speaks to me through His Word, but He says, you know what? That's temporary. Right. Yep. And my prayer is that God brings them to their knees before it's too late. Amen. Look over Luke 14. Now, I know some people don't like it when you get this open and honest as a pastor, but I've always wanted everybody to know that I'm nothing special. It's this book that's special. It's your Savior that's special. I try to be a good teacher. But I'm not Super Greg. And I'm not a super Christian. There's no such thing. Anybody acting like that, you just don't know them well enough. Anybody you think's a super Christian, yeah, hang around them for a couple of years. Get to know them behind the scenes. You'll see different. But Luke 14, 25 to 27 says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Now read 26 and 27 with me. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know, one of the main reasons I knew that was the right woman for me, because we were talking one day and I said, Jenny, I just want you to understand something. You will never be more important to me than Jesus. And she said, ditto, Buster. Amen. And I tell people, you know, I love my wife, but there's one thing about her. She loves one man more than me. And that's Jesus. And if you find that kind of person, and it's somebody you can stand, and you, and it's somebody, I'm talking about the singles here. People who are single. Then that's the kind of person you ought to marry. But even his friends. But look at it. It says hate. If any man come to me and hate not, what's that mean? That does it, hate is a neutral word. It doesn't mean that you lash out. People pour into it. Hate just means a matter of attitude. And what that means is compared to your love for Jesus, it's hate. Yeah. On a human level, we love each other. We're told to do that. If any man love not his brother, what's it say? I'm asking because I can't remember. What's it say? Yeah, there you go. So we're supposed to love each other, but when people look at your relationship with Jesus, they know. That's the way it ought to be. Not because you tell them. I mean, you don't want, you know, I love Jesus so much I hate you. You know, that's not a t-shirt you should wear. It's just that people see you and they know you love the Lord above all else. It might be, yeah. I'll get one for Christmas. But listen, when people see you living, it's not because of your talk. Talk is cheap. It's because of your walk. They can see you really love the Lord. Laodicean Christianity is like soft serve ice cream. I like a soft serve once in a while. I mean, I have, but you know what? It's made with artificial ingredients. That's why we went to, on our way up to Lake Erie, we stopped someplace and I asked the lady if they had vanilla. And she says, oh yeah, it's a soft serve. I said, no, I mean, do you have like the real hand scoop vanilla? And you know what? They had all kinds of other flavors, but not vanilla. I mean, you talk about suffering for Jesus. So I got something else. But soft serve ice cream is made with artificial ingredients. And that's what Laodicean Christianity is. They profess to know, but they lack the power thereof. What's Jesus say about real Christians? These which hear the word of God and do it. What? You actually live it outside these walls? I believe in keeping your religion inside the church. That's what people say. I had somebody just this week respond to our message a couple years ago about Mr. Rogers. They said, well, I always thought Christians were supposed to keep their religion private. I responded and said, I don't care what you thought. Amen. The Bible says we're supposed to preach the gospel to every creature, and that includes Mr. Rogers if he were a Christian. Right. Right. Amen. These are actual comments made to me over the years. We're going to close it up here in a second. I know Ezra's saying time's up, but you take that Christianity stuff way too seriously. I'm not making this up. These are things that people actually have said to me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Is that all you think about? Yeah. Lord is my witness. I don't think God wants us to waste our lives just being good Christians all the time. A close friend said that to me. One that don't want anything to do with me. Give me your opinion without quoting the Bible. How many of you had that said to you? Give me your opinion without quoting the Bible. And you know what I said? No. I'm going to give you my opinion because it's based on the Bible.